Welcome to the Let Me Call You Back podcast. My name is Declan Brooks, an aspiring comedian and podcaster based in the Philadelphia area. Each week, we talk with my brother Raymond, or one of the many friends I've made out on the road traveling for work all over the country. We catch up on daily happenings, crazy news, or whatever we find funny that day. If you enjoy what you hear on this podcast, you can also find it on Patreon. Please enjoy.
So I just hit voice record on it. I actually, like, 1 week, you've listened. Did you hear me tease it? I was like, I'm going to talk to my friend from Canada. And I just
I heard your fucking brother.
What? Talking shit?
Yeah.
Oh, man, this is perfect. This is, first off, welcome back to Let Me Call You Back. My name is Declan Brooks. I'm here with the long-awaited arrival of the Canadian ambassador, my friend and colleague, Adam McDougall. My little brother talked so much shit on you for no reason. What was it? What was the account? It lives with you.
There was one something, I think, about the poutine. And then...
You were talking shit on poutine. I think it bothered you. You're like, I love poutine.
Fuck.
My grandpa created poutine.
Fucking poutine. You tried the stuff last night, right?
Yeah. That was bullshit poutine, right? It was good poutine, but... Was that cheese curds? Was that... It was just like shitty turkey gravy on, like, mozzarella cheese.
It didn't look like fucking gravy.
It looked chunky, didn't it?
It was gray, bro. It looked like pudding.
So is poutine like the international dish?
No, I mean, yeah. Take pride in it, for sure. But it has to be certain. It has to be... I don't even know what the gravy is. So we call it poutine gravy. You can get, like, little packets of stuff at the grocery
store. Is it like a beef gravy or is it like a turkey gravy?
I want to say beef. But it's like watered down.
I took French class and like we learned about Canada because they would talk about like the Francophone countries and I feel like they're so stick frites is like the big wedge potato fries that they use for poutine.
Yeah,
and they use curd and I thought it was a turkey gravy or a beef gravy, but I have no fucking clue. It's not my country.
I can't say it's a turkey gravy. It's got to be a beef gravy.
They taught us about poutine and then maple syrup. Lollipops that like the snow pops. Yeah. It's like the most
roll it in snow.
Yeah, it's like we go and get some maple syrup straight from the tree.
We
get the snow, we put it in there, make it hot and stuff.
We have this thing in Ottawa, the canal. I can't remember the canal's name, but it's a like a winter festival.
Yeah,
and you skate down the Rideau Canal.
Yeah,
down your parliament and whatnot. And there's this thing called beaver tails. Have you ever had those?
What are beaver tails?
It's like a pancake that's fried.
Okay.
In a deep fryer.
Okay.
But it's a certain mix in the batter. It is gangster.
It's got like moose hair in there or something?
No.
I think I've probably thought of every moose related joke I can tell you by now. It's one of my favorite things. I've been thinking about like having an episode talking to somebody from Canada just like that actually can shoot the shit, because like Adam was to preface this, Adam, like, you know, is like a guy just like me on my team that does the same thing. As well as he has a pretty interesting history of just like cool jobs where you're working in like a very hard pumping, you know, exciting industry. Canadian oil, right?
Oil fields, yeah.
Any other fields like that before that? Like, what were you? How did you get into Canadian oil? Heavy machinery? Like, what were you doing?
Sounded
like you were driving a lot. Yeah, like a lot of machinery driving.
I left high school a semester early. Fucking hated it, but I graduated. And I went out to Quebec to do solar fields.
Okay.
And the foreman that was there, me and him got along really well.
Solar fields is a hard field too, right?
It's not.
It's like lighter duty cellular towers, right?
No. Solar panels. But like,
no, I can picture that. I'm saying the gauge of work. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I mean, when you get to know the foreman pretty good, you don't have to do too much work, right?
Yeah, right.
So
is that union?
So half of it was because we worked in Quebec. So half it had to be French Union, and then the other half was the company that was running the project. So, me and him kicked it off, come back to a couple farms in Ontario, and then he left and went to Alberta, and I got a phone call from him, and I went directly out.
So. And what was your first job in the oil field?
Running skid steers, great big rock trucks, excavators, loaders.
You ever do any pipe work at all? It was all just kind of heavy machinery?
So the pipeline is one thing of Alberta oil fields. The rest of it is like
sagging. Infrastructure work?
Just building, basically, buildings to fuck the dirt up, right? And so the one that I worked on was, it was called the SAG-D. You steam the oil out of the ground.
Okay.
And so it's just a massive.
So you're like interrupting Earth? Like you're like interrupting the Earth to like make oil happen is what's happening?
Some of these guys from Texas will say the same thing. It's called fracking.
Yeah, okay.
Okay, so fracking, essentially, you just dump a bunch of chemicals down it.
Yeah.
Deteriorates the stone and then releases the oil. SAG-D is meant to be a safer, cleaner version of it, but you...
Do you think it is?
I mean, the shit that you had to pump in the pipes, no?
Yeah.
You know, there's stuff in there that would blow up literally half of Canada if it ever went off, so
yeah.
I can't see that being too eco-friendly.
No, not really.
Right.
Do you ever hear the people that were complaining of, like, their gas catching up, their water catching on fire in the United States? Is that a thing that would happen for real?
Absolutely.
Yeah. crazy, dude.
Depending on how close the fracking was to places. Yeah, I couldn't see why.
And how long were you in the oil industry?
Roughly 10 years, give or take 10 years.
Crazy. Yeah. How long were you at that level? Like, what you were, like, working the machinery for? Like,
the entire time.
The entire so I thought at one point you, like, made a supervisory jump.
Yeah, so I was civil projects foreman for a company in Cold Lake. We worked on the Cold Lake Air Weapons Range, which was a military base, hundreds of thousands of acres. It was a live testing range on the Saskatchewan side, but on the Alberta side, it was demonstration only. So they would laser tag us, and it sounds crazy, but the buildings had these big orange, looked like a checkered flooring on these buildings.
Okay, yeah.
It was so that the planes could tag onto it, their lasers. And then maneuver down as if they're in a dogfight or blowing up a building, and then take off. It was incredible.
That's wild, dude.
Things would fly down less than 100 feet, bring it to your feet. It's fucking nuts.
Did you do anything like that growing up? Like driving, like machinery? Like,
no.
Were you, like?
No, I did when I started on the solar panel farms.
Gotcha. Did you work when you were younger? Have any work experience before, like, your workforce entry? Like, did you work in high school? Did you have any jobs in high school?
Yeah, my own thing. I used to cut wood and pile logs.
That is Canadian shit, dude.
That's what I did. And that's part of the reason why I was never good at school, because I needed to afford my own truck. And in order to do that, I needed to put gas in it, and I had to work to get the money. I couldn't depend on my family. So.
Do you have a big family?
No. No.
Just you?
My mother and sister.
No
at that time.
No father?
He was never around.
Like, the whole time?
The whole time.
Crazy. So, like, you lived with your mom the whole time then?
Yeah.
Like, interesting.
Yeah.
Provided for your household?
No.
In a way?
Yeah, or? Keeping myself busy.
Okay. Mom worked, though?
Yeah.
Like, what'd she do?
She's a, I don't know what you guys would call it, but not a registered nurse, but the one just underneath it.
The hell, LPN?
Something like that.
Yeah, it's like a... Yeah, she's a type of nurse.
Yeah,
like,
worked in a lot of old age homes, recovery places, hospitals when I was a kid.
Yeah. How old are your sister? Like, older than you?
Sister's 2 years younger than I am.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
Where at in Canada do you live?
About an hour and a half east of Toronto.
Okay. Is that, like, Ontario. Towards the shore?
It's right along the north end of... The very north end of Lake Ontario.
Okay.
Yeah.
I think that shit's so cool. Like,
and you're directly south, right?
Yeah, I'm so, like, I can't look at it on my phone right now, but, like, I'm almost positive it's, like, directly south of you. Like, because if you were
Pittsburgh
to put it...
Pittsburgh is,
what's directly in line with you?
Rochester, New York.
And that's... You said, is Pittsburgh in line with you?
I believe so.
Is that how you said you came down through
No, I come
Buffalo?
Down, Buffalo, yeah.
Yeah, I'm curious.
Yeah. Pennsylvania.
Yeah, I'm on the east side of Pennsylvania, right before New Jersey.
I'm right there. Sorry to say with the thing, but...
Yeah, you're good.
Let me see. So I'm right here.
Zoom out a little bit real
quick. Lake Ontario, Rochester, New York is directly beneath us.
Yeah, so you're like above central PA. Like, I'm in like the lower east part of there. That's where Philadelphia is there.
That's right, you're down in Philly.
Yeah, I'm in Philadelphia. And I live like an hour from the ocean. Dude, it's a night and day experience, I bet, when it comes to America and like, Canada. You say it all the time, you want to come here, right?
Oh, yeah.
It's, for all intents and purposes, Adam is in Canada right now during this conversation. What the hell did you try to... We try to get you in... Oh, my God. He was talking shit about, like, I think, like, you working here, we're like, we could probably get Adam in trouble for this.
Oh, yeah.
It was some shit like that.
He said a lot of stuff. It hurt my heart.
I don't think he meant it.
No, I don't think he's cool shit.
He was just trying to be a cool guy. That's why he's not here anymore. Fucking loser. Nah, I'm kidding. Miss him.
Still chat with him, though.
No, yeah, absolutely. Yeah. I still talk to him all the time. He's just too busy for this. Like, he couldn't, like, recording this on my phone in a fucking lobby in a hotel.
What do you think a week does it take up your time? How much time do you got to invest?
The time to record an episode, which is about an hour plus or less. And then the time to edit an episode, which can be about an hour to 2 hours plus or less, depending on any limitations I have with audio or video issues. That's all based on, you know, how much I prepare to, like, not have issues. You know what I mean? But, no, like, the thing is, like, you can tell, and I've told you this, and you can see what kind of, like, my goal has been on this show. Because Adam's a listener, right? Do you listen to all the episodes?
I do.
So, how long have you been doing that for?
Since I met you.
Yeah, that's cool. That's flattering. I appreciate it. Because they're not all great.
I enjoy them.
Yeah, I think I've been having fun more, like, where the editing has been going for me. Because I've been learning. If you notice, the recent episodes have been me learning how to do all the editing since Raymond left.
Yeah. So,
trying to make it better. It's a very interesting experience in trying to do this. But it's just trying to meet people all over the country doing this. I've been wanting to just, like, pick your brain and just hear, like, you always just have, like, crazy stories that pop up that always blow my mind. Like, give me something. What's a fun story you like telling about, like, the industry? Like, what's
Our industry?
Like, no. Alberta. The oil industry. You said you drove the fucking biggest trucks. What's the swirliest thing you've gotten into? That you're allowed to talk
about? The funnest thing
divulging your life.
Out of the whole time that I was there, the funnest thing that I have ever done in heavy equipment in the oil field was our drifting night shift winter gig that we had. So just imagine a site that's like, oh, I don't know how big to reference it here. The mall that's behind us.
Uh-huh.
That's a laydown. So there was
huge,
massive. So there's,
like, let's say like 10 football fields.
Oh, even bigger than that.
Yeah, exactly.
There's every trailer width. There's, we call it Tin Town. So there's a bunch of trailers lined up, like modular.
Yeah, like shipping containers.
No, like. Your schools,
construction, like the best way I can put it is a job site trailers for like a construction office.
Exactly. Yeah.
You know what I mean?
They all had decking around them, right? And there was, I would say, about 200 of these buildings.
Yeah.
But there was enough parking for like 10,000 people.
Yeah, because you all lived in the field in these areas.
This was just the office laydowns for the site that I was working on. Yes,
okay.
So it was massive. So
Jesus.
Every night we'd go out and just fucking drift these skid steers, like a rubber tire skid steer, man. It was
the funnest. Skid steers are fun in the snow, dude.
We took the contract on. This was one of the first years in Alberta that I was there that it didn't snow until like January. So we took the contract on in you know, late September, you know, hoping that some snow was going to hit.
Yeah.
But we sat in those offices for, you know, 3 or 4 months before anything actually come down where we were working all night long. And we just do.
Was Alberta circuits. Oil contract work for you, or was it union work?
Contract for the companies that we worked for. So they had to have a certain safety standard, depending on near misses, incidents, you know, possible fatalities and fatalities.
Did you work for a big company?
A massive company. You started out small. Me and another guy named Megs, we started the civil side for Donald Rigging. The company that I worked for was actually a heavy lift company, so they would do jack and roll modular lifts,
yeah.
You know, or massive Mammut 550 cranes.
Yeah.
They come in on transports. You know, we put them together and then lift.
Did you ever see any like catastrophic failures? Anybody die?
I wasn't there, but one gentleman did while I was working on site. It was a nasty story. we also had one of our coworkers not. Catastrophic failure, but he had a heart attack on site and died.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
Do you remember when we were in the forklift training, the story the guy told about a guy fucking up and the brakes weren't working on the forklift that knocked over a crucible and killed five people?
No.
Yeah. Like, that's like a... the crazy theory, the stories you hear about, like, machinery failure, or just, like, bad safety practices and stuff.
Well, and safety practice comes down to a lot of it.
That's what we do for a living. Like, you probably think I'm just some, you know, hapless pothead that doesn't do nothing, like, to save his life, but yeah. I do. But the person you see at work is completely different than the person you listen to on this episode and podcast.
Yes, sir.
It's very interesting.
When you have
atmosphere.
To put your professional cap on, it's easy to do so, and you do it very well.
Yeah,
so.
I appreciate that. I try very hard, you know, to be that person, because it's, look at what they expect of us. Look what we're doing here.
There's a lot to do.
Yeah. Adam does it very well. That's why I'm so intrigued by him, because he seems like a very, like, incredibly professional person for what we do. Almost more professional than, like, most others around him. So, like, I was very intrigued by getting to talk to him, just because, like, you know, Canada is just a different world in general. Like, you talk about there's like a barrier to entry to the United States when it comes to fiscal, like the limitation of getting here is money related. What's it like in big difference? Like, is there a pressure on school growing up? Is there a pressure on, like, going to university? Like, is there
We definitely have it in that aspect, from what I've seen, a lot easier than you guys.
Yeah.
And, like, people that I know that live in the States.
Because they interpret schooling as if it's harder.
No.
Like, the SATs and, like especially France. From the schooling that I took in, like, learning about French-speaking countries in France and Canada, they talk about university and school.
We
like,
definitely
college
have
being harder.
We definitely have some good colleges, mm-hmm. universities. But in regards to public school or high school, it's a joke. And I'm sure everyone can say that, right? But
yeah.
It's
still a big school?
Yeah.
How big?
The first school that I went to was Trenton High School. It's a fairly sized.
Like, how many people graduated in your class?
80.
Okay,
maybe.
That's a big school in your
that's
area,
That's a
probably?
Fairly big school, yeah.
So, in our areas, that's probably like a small school.
Oh, yeah. Oh, I've heard.
Oh, yeah.
I've heard
thousands. Yeah, it's insane, dude. Yeah. And I was part of, like, probably 400, maybe 376.
And how did you feel about your education? Did you get something quality from them?
There's a lot of pressure. Yeah. One feels quality. Two, pressure.
Okay.
Pressure. There was a trend among our generation, because I'm 28, I'll be 29. There's a trend among this generation that it was pressure to go to school, go to college, and get a degree that was focused on a workforce.
Yeah.
And then it seems like everybody's workforce was tapped out.
Yeah.
And everybody got college degrees for no reason. So, and that was kind of like a thing. Like, I mean, is that not what happened?
Like, look at us now.
Yeah. I mean, I've never used any college degree or, like, I never got a degree, but, like, any schooling that I got did nothing for me.
Now, there's people that I went to school with that went to college and university, and in the long term, we'll make significant more money than I will.
Yeah.
But for my income, doing what we do, I'm making a pretty decent income where I am, right?
Yeah.
And these people are still...
For what we do, we make decent money.
Ah.
For also what we do, I wish we made more money, but it is what it is. Yeah. I mean, I guess what we live with here is that competitive growth. The one thing that we take in what we get to do on our team is that, like, we have this role of being a Swiss Army knife, kind of the jack. We also have this, like, gunslinger role. It's the one thing I'll kind of say. We're supposed to roll into town, a name unannounced with a hat on, and pop in and check on people, and also toe the line. So, like, you're constantly growing, but it's not so much that, like, we do a lot of physical work, but a lot of our work is a mental game and a fact-finding game.
But it's different for you, too, in a sense, because you have to be that pistol shooter in offices that you live close by to.
Yeah.
So you
show up and pop off.
Yeah, you have a lot of.
I showed up and I started blasting. I was like, you ever watch It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia?
No.
Fucking Danny DeVito. He's like, I walked in and I just started blasting.
You have to look at. You got to go see these offices more frequently than I get to see each one of mine. Mine's too wasted.
I mean, there's
space
a fucking over. Iceberg and a moose in your way. No, you got to climb over a maple tree. Yeah. There's a Mountie sitting at the top. He checks your toll. There's a troll at the bottom.
Some of them are like that.
I know.
They're dicks, man.
It's there's a movie. You ever seen the movie Canadian Bacon?
No.
With John Candy?
No.
It's like he's like a toll bridge operator in Canada on the other side of Detroit. And he gets in this argument one day where he, like, starts this, like, border war between the United States.
Shit.
It's like something. it's like related to like a fight at a hockey game drunk one night. They're like drinking Labatt Blue. And somebody was like, Labatt Blue sucks.
Labatt Blue. Labatt Blue.
Fucking.
It's a disgusting beer.
I know. The beer. Isn't Molson more popular than Labatt?
Molson Canadian, yeah, but it gives you the shits. Stay away from it.
I don't drink it.
Yeah.
I drink my High Life and my Miller Lite.
Canadian squirts, but.
Adam was apparently the most rowdiest young man ever. What?
No.
What happened, man? What? Did you pop off too hard?
When I was younger?
Yeah.
I mean, I lived in a... So I grew up in Trenton.
Yeah.
For a good chunk of my life.
Yeah.
And then my mom's then husband had a milking parlor, like a milking stable.
You milked cows?
I didn't. But I was around it a lot, right? We had a big.
They kept saying, "Adam,
property.
Those aren't cows; those are bulls. Those stop!" Are bulls. Well, I drank all the milk. Yeah.
So I mean, we grew up in a Sterling and Madoc, or fucking really small towns, right?
Yeah,
the little spot that we lived in had like 62 people in it. So you stuck up for your boys.
Yeah,
right? You had to, or else you were going to be.
What's the drinking age in Canada?
19.
Yeah, so 19. You were talking about getting drunk around that age. I was thinking you were underage. No, I didn't realize you were of age.
Yeah, yeah. But I mean, growing up, you can get it anywhere, right? All the guys.
Oh shit! You can make the maple syrup and delicious.
Legit.
Dude, seriously, anybody got a good maple syrup whiskey up there? Or something
dude, that's
like that?
What you do.
You really? Yeah, because it makes sugar alcohol, right? Isn't that what?
No, it just makes maple syrup just taste that much better.
Yeah.
You put it at the bottom of like when you finish a maple bottle, you dump about half of it into a. A whiskey, half of a whiskey
into the, bottle in there. Yeah,
oh, buddy, that's some good stuff.
Haven't done it in years, have you?
I haven't, no. No, my nephew does, and he does it religiously.
Yeah.
He's got little jars inside of his little, he's got
just
one of those French
coolers.
Too much
trouble drinking? just too much trouble?
No, I held myself pretty good.
You just don't like drinking?
I just don't like drinking.
Gotcha.
No. I got that DUI, man, and so it I don't
it takes
know what it's
one
like.
And sets people back.
No, what's it cost you in the States?
I think the number people say a lot is $10,000.
Okay, well, times that by 10.
Yeah. Wow. Why?
50 G's in my first year. That was – so you get a fine, automatically go to jail, and then you have to – I was lucky enough to get out. But
say sorry to the queen and the main moose.
Yes, sir. Sorry. Yes, sir. I can't remember what the fines were, but it was a significant amount of money.
Jesus Christ.
And then you have to put a breathalyzer in your vehicle. And it's four. At that time, I think it was $400.
Okay, yeah, that's a pretty normal thing. People
right?
do that,
yeah. But they, for every infraction, air quotes, they fucking ding you a couple $100.
How long were you playing the flute all fucked up?
Fucking a year.
Yeah.
Right? But I wasn't any of the mistakes. I was just getting hit back on these things because I would be flying out to Alberta, right? And then coming back, and for whatever reason, it would have gotten colder or whatever. And it was a nightmare. Plus, I purchased a vehicle. So I am adding that into the cost of the DUI.
Yeah.
Because I had to have a new vehicle. I couldn't just use my old shit box that I had.
Did you crash it?
No, I was driving a buddy's truck, actually. I wasn't supposed to be driving at all that night. And there was four or five of us that split weekends. One with DD, and then everybody else would drink. It was my turn to drink that weekend. I had DD'd the weekend before. And George, never forget him, nor forgive him. He decided to go get all shit faced at a strip club, and we did the key toss in the parking lot, and the cops saw it, and he drove around and found us.
Key toss.
If he was drunker, he'd stand like 20 steps, and he'd throw it, and then whoever didn't catch it, right? You know he's drunk.
So, I get what you're saying. Okay, okay. I thought the cop came and got you because he tossed the keys. Yeah, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Fucking dickhead.
Yeah.
Yeah, I've had some situations with friends really tossing me under the bus. It's a shame when they do it to you, especially those situations. And
we had to drive like half a mile.
I got arrested one time. A friend of mine, he wanted to smoke weed. I had weed. I got in a fight with my dad, and we went out. We were smoking in like a old warehouse, and I had never been arrested before. Never got in trouble for weed, and he wanted to smoke my weed. I'm like, all right, whatever, that's fine. So. I was saying I didn't like where we were hanging out and smoking. It felt like a dangerous spot. And we're rolling up, and he's like, hold on, wait. I invited these girls over here. I'm like, dude, I don't want to smoke with girls right now. I just had a fight with my dad. Like, I'm just trying to chill. We're at a weird place to begin with. He's like, no, it's no problem. So I'm thinking, like, oh, we're going to hang out with girls, smoke, chill, whatever. when these girls showed up, there was a husband and wife around the corner, apparently in the woods, what? Shooting at a turkey decoy. And they saw two young kids' cars pull into an old abandoned warehouse. They called the cops on us. Which makes fucking sense.
Uh-huh.
First time, like we were fine the first time getting in there, but then they fucking invited the girls. You know, draw an unrealistic amount of attention for a reason. So then the cops pull up, and he's rolling a blunt, holding weed in his hands, holding all my stuff. I'm not holding any of it. And in my friend group, we had this rule. If you're holding it, and the cop pulls up,
you take it.
That's like a normal rule we hear around every friend group. What's my friend do? He looks at me and takes everything that's sitting in his hands that he's working on and puts it in my lap.
No shit.
Yeah. So he hands me a rolled blunt, hands me all the weed that he had, I had, and the grinder, and hands it to me. And I couldn't do anything. I had my grinder and weed in my front pouch of my hoodie. And the blunt that I had, her car door, when you opened it, the lights didn't turn on. So I reached out and put the blunt under a wheel on the car. And cops pull up. They ask what's going on. They're like, what are you guys doing? It smells like weed in the car. Anybody have weed? And I said, yeah, I do, actually. I was like, I'm not going to give you guys a run around. I'm not going to. I was like, it's better for me if I'm honest with you because I have it right here. Mm-hmm. He's like, where's it at? I'm like, right here. He's like, okay. Step out. I give it to him. I search the car. Run them through it. It's one of those moments where, like, you're watching your friends laugh because they didn't get in trouble. Oh, yeah. You're fucking upset because you're like, none of you cocksuckers are getting in trouble. I'm getting in trouble. The guy was cool. Gave me, like, the lowest charge he could. He gave me, like, a misdemeanor or whatnot. But I still had to go to court for everything. It was a weed charge. New Jersey wasn't too, like, lenient on shit at that time. It was, at first, like, going to be, like, a $2,000 to $3,000 fine and something on my record. And I had to get a drug test and be on probation for a year. Abbreviated version of probation for a year. But in the States, we have this thing called a conditional discharge, which is like a level of up to a certain level of crime or issue that you cause, or like misfortune or like legal issue that you get into. You kind of get out of jail, like, not get out of jail free, but like, all right, you fucked up.
Yeah.
It's not like a pre-intervention.
Do you have to do like community service?
No, it's like, it's not even like a pre-trial intervention. It's just like, all right, let's look at the situation. This isn't that fucked up. Instead of going through the full experience, we're just going to make you pay a fine. One drug test and then you can't get in trouble for a year. Instead of a bigger fine, drug tests every month.
Yeah.
And probation for 2 years.
Jesus Christ. For the ganja.
For weed. he tossed me under the bus for that. He said, I'll be right there to pick you up and everything. And when I went to the police station, they let me out that night and everything. He wasn't answering his phone because he went to go hang out with those two girls.
No shit.
And I call him, like, where are you at? He's like, I went to go get pizza with those girls. I was like, come fucking get me before I beat your fucking ass.
No kidding.
And he shows up and he's with the girls and he's like, I was like, you told me you took them home. He's like, oh, we were getting pizza. I'm like, dude, it's been a fucking hour since they let me out. I've been standing out here by myself. I've never been arrested before. You got me arrested. Go fuck yourself. Take me home.
Fuck.
And I could never tell my parents. I lived with it for a while until finally after I dealt with it and got to the court and I told my mom, like, hey, I have to go to court today. I've already been dealing with it, but I need you there to, like, sign papers with me. And that's what I did.
She beat your
ass.
That
was it.
No.
She's like, I can tell something was going on.
No shit.
That's what she said to me. I was like, it's fucking stupid, Mom. I was like, it was this day when this happened. This is what the situation was. And she's like, that's a bad day. I'm not going to give you shit about it. You know what I mean? That's like, I told her everything about it. I was like, the whole day, what happened, the entire experience. I said to her, I was like, I didn't even want to be back there. I said, well, I get in a fucking argument with Daddy. Like, it's with my father.
Yeah.
Get in an argument with my father, and, you know, I'm out in the world being a teenager. You know what I mean?
Uh-huh. So similar with George, the guy that I got the DUI with, he didn't leave me, but he walked from where we got, because they take your vehicle, right? Load it up, and he had a F-350.
All right, there's going to be 4 or 5 mooses here to pick this vehicle. Sorry.
Please send the support. The fucking guy, he chucked to the police station, and they held me for 32 hours, and he slept on the fucking bench out front.
Dude.
Because our phones and everything were gone, right?
Oh, my God. They took the car and everything, too?
All his stuff, because they cuffed him as well, right? And they kept him beside the cruiser. The tow truck come, and he's like, dude, I got to get my phone. And the cop's like, I'll get it. Never got it. So he slept on the step out front of the police station for fucking 32 hours waiting for me. It was an ordeal.
Yeah, that'll make you stop drinking. You're like, guys, we are never drinking again.
I mean, I drank afterwards for a little while, but then I got my shit back, and it's one of those things where you gotta, you're the pros and cons, mm-hmm. right? Because you might have been.
Oh, as you can tell, I don't drink a lot.
No. No.
I could if I wanted to. I just don't.
No. You can handle it all right?
Yeah, definitely. Whiskey or beer? I just don't want to. All of it. I can drink all of it. When we went out the other night, I drank a shot of tequila when we were at the bar.
Yeah.
I drank a shot of whiskey when we were at the next bar.
Yeah.
And then I drank a shot of Crown Royal vanilla mixed with Crown Royal blackberry, iced. Drinking beers the whole time. When I worked in nightclubs, the normal thing when you work in nightclubs in the industry is service drinks during the night while you're working.
Because you're a bouncer, right?
Yeah. And I've had so many shots of fucking Jameson while I'm working. And then having to throw someone out. Had so many shots of Jack Daniels. When we get done, we get one free drink.
No shit.
So everybody sits down and has a drink together. You know, either everybody has a... It'll sound like racist for me to classify it like this, but it's not. Everybody that was white drank Jameson or Jack Daniels, and all the black bouncers and bartenders would drink Grand Marnier. Grand Marnier, yeah. That was their thing, and I would be like, pour me a Grand Marnier, and they'd be like, oh, you're drinking with the brothers tonight, ain't you, Declan? I'm like,
Grand Marnier is like a liqueur, right?
It's like an orange flavored liqueur, yeah. It's definitely something you don't have to do. If you notice, I like to just smoke my weed, have a couple drinks, and relax. I'm not here to get a fight with nobody, and I'm not going to get too drunk.
No, it's always a good time hanging out with you.
Yeah,
that's for sure.
It's always a good time hanging out with you. I definitely there's definitely we always catch up about something crazy that happened. I'm always like, Adam, you got to fucking get on the podcast and talk about this. What's your favorite hobby?
Well, I used to be into snakes.
Yeah, this is why I forgot about this. I wrote a joke about you being I used to have 176 ball pythons.
200.
Yeah.
200 motherfuckers, yeah.
Yeah, and then I looked up, I wrote this joke about it, talk about it. It's you ever meet the motherfuckers? I got 255 ball pythons. I'm where at? And a bunch of glass, tanks and everything? And no, and plastic totes in a room down the hall. Yeah. Why the fuck do you have that?
It's good fucking income, man.
I know, I bet, because people love snakes.
Dude.
It's insane what happens to these ecosystems where people let snakes out that don't take care of them.
So, if you're getting on about Florida,
I'm not saying it's totally Florida,
because that's hemmed up bullshit.
Yeah, do you think it's not totally true?
Like 1,000% not totally
the ball
true.
Python thing.
So they're Burmese pythons.
Yeah, that's what it is, right?
And a Burmese python needs to be anywhere from 2 to 3 years old, a female, and sexually mature and meet up with
the goldfish theory. It's they're
yes,
fucking
yes.
They, or the crocodile theory. They're oh, people flush crocodiles.
That's
end up
fucking
in the sewers
bullshit.
New York.
You know?
Yeah.
They are having a problem, but it's not because you and I had a Burmese python in.
Oh, they've tried to attribute it to deer populations and raccoon populations.
They murk them.
Yeah, I know.
I know. They hit them hard.
Just a giant worm with teeth fucking people up, dude.
But do you think people really care they don't have rats running around their cities? Nah.
You think people don't care that they're not hitting deer?
Dang. I mean, it sucks that it's taking away the natural ecosystem.
For the hunter, we're both... Are you a hunter or fisherman?
Fisher. I used to fish a lot. I got out of it. I don't have time.
What was your fishing... What did you like to do? Bass fishing?
Bass fishing, yeah.
Smallmouth?
Largemouth, yeah. We got some really cool silver bass, smallmouth.
Interesting.
Small, tiny ass. It's called Little Lake.
What about Red Eye Rock Bass? You got to get Red Eye.
Oh, yeah, but they're tiny.
Yeah, they're fucking cool. They're strong.
They're
dude.
Strong, yeah.
They're a little strong, a little smallmouth.
My favorite, other than the bass, was muskie.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I showed you the pictures from the other day.
Yeah.
I got off the striper a couple of last week. So today is what, the 5th?
Fourth. What the fuck were you talking about? Tarpons?
Tarpon. There's a tarpon running down in Florida. Mark's going to Fort Lauderdale, and tarpon are those big saltwater fish that people are always catching, fucking arms length wide. They're silver, and they jump out of the water.
Rounded head?
Yeah.
Okay.
I've been doing my striper fishing. I got into some striper last week, got some nice, nice big striped bass.
No shit.
I caught at least 2 25 plus pound striper.
No kidding. And that's right on the ocean.
Right? No, in the river.
In the river?
20 minutes from my house. I leave my house and I drive across the bridge. I go down to this spot and I go to the river. It's like a dirt road. It's a dirt road that takes about 5-10 minutes to get back.
No shit.
Drive all the way back to the river, park up, walk in waders, park up on a beach in my waders, put my lines out with surf rod holders. I'm using a 10 to 11 foot surf rod in the river.
No shit.
Yeah. And that's what everybody's doing. And we put bait out. We use bloodworms.
Okay, I've heard of that.
Like, do you guys have a saltwater fishing scene where you're at?
No. Well, I mean, not where I am.
I'm sure there are striped bass, though, on the southern tips of where you're at.
Maybe, like, on the ocean side?
Atlantic side,
Atlantic,
yeah.
Pacific? Maybe. But I've never gone fishing out that way.
Yeah.
I've wanted to.
What's the biggest fish you caught? Bass more than anything? Or, like, any salmon?
Salmon, yeah. Lake trout.
Okay, yeah.
Right
you
now,
got ice spawning. Fishing up there?
Yeah.
How cold does it get where you're at?
Cold as fuck.
All the time?
Last couple of years hasn't been, but on a good winter night day, it would be, I don't know what it is in American, but they're minus 25.
Well, what? Minus zero 30, is 32 degrees, 30, right?
Yeah.
So minus 25 would be like what? Like minus 10?
Yeah.
That's wild.
It's cold.
What's the warmest it gets? Like above
where
zero?
Where I am is like mid 80s, high 80s, maybe touching into the 90s.
Degrees?
In the summertime, yeah.
Hmm.
Yeah. But it's been getting longer, so I'm praying to God we get some of the fucking palm trees up there.
Have you seen, like, so I feel like sometimes, like, the things we hear about that are the social issues, like, does Canada talk about, like, global warming and shit like that?
Yeah,
like,
we pay a fucking, like, 30% carbon tax.
Yeah, you guys do have some crazy
shit. Dude, you
get,
try going to
right?
the pumps.
What,
my
pumps
wife, like,
kick gas?
To get gas is ridiculous. Like, ridiculous. And even, like, food, they charge you a carbon tax because our food got driven into the markets with a transport.
Why is that?
So we get taxed on that as well.
Why are you guys taxed so heavily?
Trudeau spends a lot of money. I don't know. I try not to get into it. I like to curl underneath my rock and forget about it.
Do you guys have a very popular, like, political?
Oh, yeah. It's fucking,
like, is there, like, an argument, like, how we have, like, arguments over the president there? Is there not really much you
can
do about
it? Yeah, we have a trucker convoy.
Yeah, I know that. The Freedom Convoy.
Right.
I've seen it.
And every...
I opened an office in Washington, PA, and it went by.
Okay.
The entire town came out in tractors and then lined the overpass.
Oh, yeah.
And the road, and, like, you know, honked and waved. I have a video of it on my phone.
Yeah. Dude, that was a cool time. I didn't follow too much in it. Lots of people went to Ottawa. Like, and I mean traveled from Vancouver, British Columbia, to Ottawa to see the trucker convoy because it was such a huge thing.
Yeah.
I watched them. I was picking up the crib for my then daughter before she was born, and they passed the 401 where I was picking up the crib. That was pretty cool. But it didn't matter what you did for those people. They fucking froze your bank accounts, and you sent them $20. Your bank account's frozen for 30 days. You know, so.
Really?
Yeah.
Who's paying attention to that?
The government.
That's fucking nuts.
Because
are they worse than the U.S.
Because
in
people
ways?
Were voicing the truth.
Is Canada's government, like, a lot more critical than the U.S.?
It's you guys have more people, right? So ours is, think of it like us getting yelled at.
There's
in,
less
in
cattle
the office,
to,
right?
There's but, less cattle to wrangle, so there's more ability to yell at the cattle.
Yeah, you know, it's
instead of, you know, we're just not going to yell at all these cattle.
That's right. And people, Canada's weak. In my opinion.
Yeah.
Yeah. People just...
It just seems like what... Well, it's still a... It's a British colony still?
No, I don't know.
I don't know how it works. Like...
The queen. The king now.
Yeah, right?
Yeah, everything's due to the... Everything's due to the king.
And, who's the king now?
Don't know.
Yeah, right?
No, Charles or something.
Fucking Charlie.
But he's got cancer, so... He's about to kick it. Then his son will take over.
Play hockey?
I did. 18
a lot.
Years. Yeah.
What was the farthest you went?
Major midget. I think it major. I don't know. I can't remember the.
I heard somebody call somebody a major midget. That's crazy.
Yeah. I tried out for the Belleville Bulls, which was an OHL team. Was almost there.
That sounds funny. Just telling that to the boys, like, hey boys, I got a fucking tryout down at the Belleville Bulls this week. It's gonna.
There's a good team, bro.
It's gonna be good. I think this is it.
The Belleville Senators now, so it's the farm team for Ottawa Senators. That's same.
Fight? Were you a fighter?
Not so much, but I was quick.
What were you? What position? Winger? Left
right,
winger?
Right defense.
Okay, right defense.
Yeah, I could skate like a motherfucker backwards.
Any long shooter?
No.
Yeah. Much shooting at all, or more just defense work.
Good snapshot. Yeah. I can skate forward pretty quick too.
Hell of a backwards gamer.
Hell of a backwards
gamer. What other sports do you play in Canada?
A little bit of football. And that was it.
So what is football like in Canada? Is it like the same? Same idea. Do you guys take it as serious?
No. And
it's our fucking, it's our lifeblood.
I think people would be different if they did.
It motivated school.
Yeah.
Sports program influenced the school because it's an incentive. They're like, be good at this, and you get to go to college too.
Similar, right? And there was a lot of, but you guys have like homecoming. We'd have homecoming, but 20 people would show up.
Yeah, and every time you'd salute a moose,
you know? Everybody was
right here like 10 moose drops in this, dude. Well, I mean, she had a nice dress on. I mean,
no, it was school is weird.
It's interesting, dude. Homecomings, proms, all that shit, same things?
As far as I can remember, prom, we have prom. We have, I want to say homecoming, but there was, like, semi-formals.
You guys, like, really into Santa Claus up there?
Yeah.
Are you?
My Santa Claus is still up,
actually. Is Christmas, like, is it really?
Yeah.
Just because you're busy?
No, because my son loves it.
Is Christmas huge in Canada? Is it as big as the United States?
Do you guys take it seriously?
Seems like it.
Yeah.
Not like where we're like, these are fighting words over.
No.
Santa Claus is Donald Trump.
You like would that. Be a good Santa Claus.
But me?
Yeah, I know. Snug the fucking Donald Trump.
Yeah, right.
So a lot.
These are the best toys. You're going to love these toys. They're the best. They're perfect. We picked them out there. We picked them out with fine details. Yeah. We picked them out very, very good tools.
Yeah.
Very good toys are the best toys. My father liked these toys. I had these toys.
Do you like Donald Trump?
I voted for him, but I don't know. I don't like the ego based around his image.
Who's running now?
Him. Like, it's weird. I say this to people a lot when it comes to my political opinion. I think because it's two people that I don't really agree with how, you know, who they are and what they do. I voted for Trump twice. I'm not going to wait for him to do 4 years and nothing happen again.
Mm.
So, I'd rather vote for somebody that was going to put 8 years in of good work for the United States. The sad part of it is, too, that if you talk to some people, they're like, it doesn't matter anymore. It's just, you know, whatever puppet act they're doing, man, this is a government that's way above our head.
Do you think they're ever going to get away from what they are now? Does that make sense?
I think.
Like, can you actually see there being, and this goes for myself,
you
too.
You see
this
how, like, much the United States put popularity, like, importance on, like, all right, we have to, like, have a diverse opinion, like, a diverse selection.
But you have to choose this.
Yeah, and, like, it's a popularity thing.
Yeah.
And, like, the one thing that hasn't happened is there hasn't been a female president.
No.
I think that it's just going to, like, that will be, like, the – it has nothing to do with women. I think it would be great if a woman would be a president. But, like, I think just the forced diversity and the constant ever-changing landscape of a political candidate is just going to force, like, people to be like, we're just going to pick someone. Like, you know what I mean?
Because your, like, guys' shit's coming up
it's
soon.
It's going out. Like, it goes, like – it's just not even, it's not politicians really running anymore. It's people. Just random people. You know what I mean? Seriously, like, it's whoever wants to be president. If you're above age, people are like, yeah, man, I was, like, the coolest guy on TikTok for, like, 10 years. Like,
yeah.
I could be president, dude. Like, I really hope and wish a political system still worked. But I have so many people that have conversations with me where they're like, it's not even a system anymore. It's a fucking puppet act. I hope I'm wrong.
It's definitely fucking scary.
Yeah, you just think of where you have more rights when it comes to, because, dude, the other thing you think about is that, like, all right, we're just one country. There's so many more countries in NATO and the entire world
that aren't too friendly with the United States and or Canada.
And you kind of just look at where you're lucky to be in the places that there's rights in.
Mm-hmm.
It's easy to go, grass is greener. I'm sure, though, but, like, the money side of things, because you hear me complain about money all the time. Fucking money side of things
is that
for
all
Canada.
Across the United States?
What?
Wages.
Like, know, that right now?
Yeah.
Seems like it, yeah. They've, like, raised what they expect to be poverty line in middle class to, like, you know, 80 grand a year.
Yeah, but I heard the middle class. I was listening to a podcast a couple weeks ago, and the middle class, technically, comparative to what it was 40 years ago, you'd have to be making some $370,000 a year now to be considered middle class.
What we make is, like, you know, sub-100.
Yeah.
And, but it's not that far under 100. And my dad raised 3 kids on that. A wage parallel or slightly less for most of my life.
Mm.
And
mom work?
Yeah, she did. She was an aide in a school in special education classrooms for years. My mom has MS and she broke her back, so I had to eventually, like, you know, go on disability and stop working. Yeah. But more often, my dad raised, like, you know, took care of a household on most of his own money, and it's nuts to have the same money my dad was making 10 years younger, and it feels like I have to do all
every... Bank account zero?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's fucked up.
It's a sad feeling at this age, and it's a feeling that everybody my age feels.
Oh, yeah.
All of us feel. It's a sad feeling to chase, and everything's motivated by money, so it's hard not to chase it. So it's sad, dude. I mean, like... What's your motivation to come to the United States? Save a little bit of money, right? Get away from all this money that they're taking from you from what you make or what you do for a living, right?
I spend like 47% or something like that in taxes.
Just to go to work and provide for your family. Yeah. Here, comparatively, it's somewhere closer to like probably 27 to 33%.
Gotcha.
What it seems like when it comes to the taxes they take and what you put into certain programs and systems for however you play ball and whatever taxes you pay at the end of the year.
I'm dumbfounded by the taxes that you, like tonight for dinner.
Yeah.
My meal was, well, I don't, $20.
Yeah,
and I paid $1.26 in taxes.
Every state has different taxes. Different taxes that apply. We don't. You notice when we were in California, in different places, they had like deposit taxes and like.
Yeah, I only hit Lake Tahoe.
Okay,
that was the only time I got to hit California.
I forgot that part.
Yeah,
out there when you do stuff like that, they have like. You buy a can of soda, it's a tax plus like a deposit fee and like the state bottle fee. Yeah, there's certain places where it's like that.
Yeah, I guess we got a 20% deposit fee on bottles and cans. Yeah,
that's not a normal thing everywhere.
No.
Some places there is no deposit fee. It's just built into the price of the cans, and then you still get 5 to 15 cents back depending on the place.
And you have to drop it off, though.
Yeah.
Yeah. Fucking weird, dude.
Yeah, it's a weird thing. Weird. It's a weird thing to compare. It's definitely apples and oranges.
Canada to U.S.?
Yeah, it's definitely like it's apples to oranges. They're both fruit. They're both sweet, but they're two completely different things.
Buddy, there's so many great things about Canada, but there's a lot of things outweighing the good things.
Yeah,
and I guess you could say that.
Do you have more rights within different provinces, or is it a governed body?
If you go,
it's different to where like we're governed by one body.
One body. Yeah. If we go to
Trudeau, doesn't have power everywhere, right?
And he's got the final say. Kind of. He's got the head to the snake.
There's something in the United States. Have you ever heard of the concept of states' rights? The level of like what states' rights and what's government's rights, and like
a bit.
What levels of like power each state has over what the government actually has to say over their rights.
A bit, yeah.
And there's different states' rights when it comes to each state, and like what rules they define and what they choose to do
because of your
precedent set. It was like the Bill of Rights and like how they set up states, like
gotcha.
Separation of powers.
Yep. We get something similar. I mean, you go to Calgary. And the member of parliament there is going to fight for you.
Yeah.
And has. You know, and won.
It's because he's a grizzly bear, though.
She, I think it is.
She's a grizzly
phenomenal.
Bear.
Phenomenal. Wow. Yeah, she's... That's a fucking tough province to be in, especially to be parliament. It's fucking crazy. But, the concept to come down to the States was because you guys are...
You have a... From one thing I can tell is you seem like you have a very, like, moral compass about you. Have you ever thought, or have you ever been in law enforcement, or thought about law enforcement up in there?
Yeah, but I couldn't because of the DUI.
Really?
Yeah.
So in the States, that's the thing where people are like, "That don't matter. We'll get you through it."
No shit.
Yeah, people are like that. They have backgrounds. They have DUIs. They have like getting arrested for weed or something like that. Mm-hmm. Shit gets scrubbed, or they talk through it. It's a thing.
No kidding.
Like, yeah, cops say it all the time.
I figured they
cops would've... have said that to me before. Like, "Oh, you'd make a great cop, man." Like, "Oh, I've gotten arrested for weed before." He's like, "Doesn't matter."
Doesn't matter.
I figured they would've. I bet the Canadian municipal Mounted Province, whatever the hell it's called, Mounted Police, Royal Canadian...
Royal Canadian Mounted Police,
yeah. That's the police force everywhere, right?
No.
So what is your...
Yes, local, kind of.
Is that the main governing body there?
No.
You have a local police?
Yeah. Yeah, most cities have their own
police. They have a bunch of holes police or department?
Yeah, they're a bunch of fucking weirdos, eh? Yeah, they're if the RCMP is showing up...
Down.
Oh, fuck.
It's like troopers showing up here.
Have you ever watched Super Troopers?
Yeah.
Yeah. It's similar.
Yeah.
Most of them. Personalities.
Seriously? Like the actual, like...
You know the way they talk?
Yeah.
You know? Have you seen the spoof where the Super Troopers pretended to be French?
Yes.
You're right?
Yeah.
There's your Royal Canadian Mounted Police.
They're like, they have like that upper lip sensation. Like the stiff upper lip personality.
They're just dicks.
Are they?
Oh, yeah. They're
state troopers get that same personality. State troopers. Attribute.
Yeah. Yeah. They have this higher power. They're, you know,
they
across
know better,
the Canadian,
they know better than you. They
Canadian
know better than
lands,
you.
You know. They ride around their fucking horses.
Very cool.
They're cool guys, though. They wear those. I've always wanted the top half of the suit. They're hard to come by.
So I asked about hobbies. Snakes was your thing forever. What else?
That was it.
And what made you stop snakes? It was just too much with the kids and everything?
Well, like, the income was close to what I make now, if not more.
With the same amount of effort?
With hardly any effort. A little bit of mind, right? Because you got a mad scientist in your basement room, but you would...
My buddies breed snakes, too. I have a buddy of mine that breeds snakes, too.
What does he breed?
Everything.
Yeah?
Stuff I'm not allowed to tell you. He tells me all the time.
Like Venice stuff?
I don't know.
Because that shit's cool.
I mean, he's... it's not even just breed... Like, he just has so many snakes. Yeah, he tells me just, like, where...
But it's a genetics thing, so you got to try... So you got to visualize what you want.
Dominance, recessive gene.
That's recessive, right. Recessive.
Gene, what blends properly, the that's types right. of snakes, the types of, you know, yep. like their body types, the yep. desert types. Because, like, you could really hurt an animal by breeding it wrong.
Yeah.
So and it could also just be not a...
the bad yeah. one.
And you could also just, like, you know, like, breed a very unhealthy, you know, just an ugly... Dude,
you're literally taking DNA and genetics and putting it into these animals and praying to God that when you cut the eggs or they come out of the eggs, they're somewhat healthy. But they're crossbred. You have
beautiful.
You're breeding the mothers back to the babies to try and prove out, you know, genetics, hets and
yeah.
heterozygous forms, trying to hit a visual animal. And those animals are literally intertwined. You're purchasing the babies off people, but you've already purchased other animals from them. It's a fucking...
Yeah, I have friends with, like, Gila monsters.
Gila,
like,
monsters are cool shit.
Desert rock stuff. Like, a lot of desert rock snakes. Like, just okay. very, very cool. Like, and, dude, it's amazing how many patterns form in nature.
Buddies.
Snakes are the closest thing to a kaleidoscope.
Yeah. Yeah, like, well, I mean, ball pythons, a guy that I used to work for, Royal Canadian Reptiles, he... Him and his dad is fucking a genius. He come up with some number of, like, millions of different possible genetic combinations to make these animals. And we've only, like, the ball python community has only hit a fraction of that. And when you go to, like, Tinley Park or, like, Arlington, Texas, there's a big reptile expo there.
Do you ever mess with venomous snakes?
No, but I wanted to. I really wanted to. But that's a matter of if. Not a matter of, you know, you're going to get hit one of these days, right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. It's like doing electric work.
Well, you're standing on the freeway and there's transports coming at you at every direction.
Yeah.
You know? That's a dangerous thing to get into.
Yes, sir.
But I got out of it, yes, because my second daughter was close to being born. And
it's all girls for you, right?
Two girls and a boy.
Oh, yeah. I forgot about that. Yep.
And limited income, like limited house... Limited space in that house. So
your girl work too?
Yeah, she manages a hotel on the base, CFB Trenton.
On the base?
Yeah.
In the military?
No, civilian.
Gotcha.
Yeah, her whole family's military. Why she didn't go into it? I'm glad she didn't, because I would never have met her, but...
Yeah. You know. Nah, I think I was going to get ready to ask you this. Have you ever thought about doing comedy? I feel like you present very well and talk to people very well.
If I'm, like when I was drinking a lot, I found myself to be funnier.
Yeah.
I'm kind of a kickback, quiet guy, stand back and read the room sort of deal, right? So it's hard for me to definitely open up.
I think you present very funny to people. That's why I was curious. Yeah. It's what made me want to interview you a little bit. Because we all have the same presentation skills.
Mm-hmm.
Relatability. Communication. Personality.
Yep.
So it's very interesting to get to see how people tick, what their life experience is like. I don't know, is there any, like, stories that you want to tell that, like, you think people need to hear about Canada? Anything that you want to talk about? Anything you wanted to share? You know, you're like a listener of this Dude, show. This is your free time.
You
I'm interviewing a listener.
Instagram, Facebook, and fucking TikTok nowadays. Canada's... There is no story that I can tell that...
You won't get in trouble for. I know.
Actually, I got to be careful because I am crossing the border tomorrow morning.
Yeah, I know, but you were just here for vacation.
Vacation?
Yeah, exactly.
No, I told him I was coming across for work.
Yeah.
And then he goes, roll down your back window. And I was like, it is rolled down. He's like, roll down further. And I'm like, there's nothing back there. He's like, there's a car seat. You got your kid with you? Like, there's no kid in the car seat. You can see it. They're mean. They're fucking mean. And that's not the Americans. That's the Canadians.
Yeah.
Right? They almost don't want you leaving. Going back, they're going to be like, deuces.
Yeah.
Adios.
See you, get out.
Yeah.
We don't want...
When are you coming back?
Yeah. Also, like, there's the, they don't want you to stay because, like, the border rules, right?
Dude. Yeah, I mean, they're, like, from my perspective, crossing in where I did, there almost seem to be more fences than you do have, you know, further south. It's nuts up there.
There's a documentary that's very popular that talks about the stretch in between North Dakota. That's like a lawless stretch in between Canada and the United States.
Have you seen it?
I haven't.
It's pine trees.
Yeah.
And then there is a
North Dakota 200
foot fucking clear cut of pine trees.
Yeah.
That goes for as far as you can see it from the sky when, when I would fly across. And I've always wanted to just
see it.
Walk across.
I've wanted to see it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
People ride their bikes and shit in there.
I've always wanted to take a float plane trip. Guys talk about going on a float plane trip for fishing trips in Canada all the time.
Northern Ontario, man, is fucking
I want to go pike fishing.
Pike fishing is, yeah, that's next level shit.
Yeah, man.
But you can do that also in BC, another beautiful.
That's a plan on our horizon for sure, getting together for a fishing trip or something.
Set it up with TG.
Yes, sir.
It'd be a good time.
Yeah. Oh, you the first time you offered me coming up to visit, I was definitely like, I'm going to take him serious on this when I get a chance. I very much want to go to Canada.
The missus, because she manages that hotel, we get like next to nothing lodges up in Northern Ontario that you're more than welcome to stay at any time.
Yeah, it's very cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, man, I don't know. I mean, you're a listener to the show. Anything you want to say to listeners that listen to the show? Anything
just
you
keep on fucking listening.
Yeah, man, I love
this guy's a cool cat, man.
Yeah, man, I love doing this stuff. Yeah. Hey, man, thanks, dude. This was very fun. I really appreciate you sitting down and at least talking to me about Canada, yourself, how your brain ticks, the oil field, all that. This was fun. I had fun. So it's been a fun week. We had a very fun professional growth week for work. You got to be around a lot of guys that tick the same way or have more experience than you can put into a bottle of whiskey. I'll tell you what. Like, it's insane, and it's a very cool thing to grow around people. We do have a very lucky opportunity of a company that invests in its individuals.
That's the key word.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And that's like what kind of like supplements where we do wish we got more money in certain ways. Like, you know, we all work hard in our jobs. Everybody feels like they can make more money for our jobs. And that's in any person's job, anybody's day to day, because we all want to be more successful and make more money. What we do, you know, for a living could be compensated more properly, but for that doesn't happen, there is an investment from the people that do hold our best interests in mind. So I consider myself very lucky. It's allowed me to, you know, have the lifestyle I have, do what I do. It started, you know, the comedy, me doing this, yeah. The traveling,
yep.
Being around people like you, doing shit like this. So I consider myself very lucky. I get to say that very often. Lucky. Even anything that I feel negative about, I do always remind myself I am very lucky for. So.
Sir.
Thanks a lot for sitting down, Adam.
Thank you.
Yeah, man. Thanks a lot, seriously. It's been Let Me Call You Back. We'll see you guys next week. This has been the Canadian Invasion with Mr. Adam McDougal. Thank you very much.
Thanks for listening. We hope you enjoyed that episode. Please rate, review, and subscribe on Apple Podcasts. We would really appreciate the support. You can find us on any streaming platform if you want to find more episodes. We have over a year's worth of content stacked up waiting for you. If you also want to support us on our Patreon, you can go over to the Let Me Call You Back podcast on Patreon. Right now it's only $1 a month. It's a pretty great deal. I think you guys should get in while the getting's good. We got interviews from the road. We have video sets of me doing comedy. We have other different great content, so go over there and check it out. I would really appreciate that support. If you want to find me on Instagram, you can find my Instagram at DeclanLovesMeatballs. You can also find Raymond at Ray_Brooks. And you can find the podcast at 555 Let Me Call You Back. Thank you very much. Please stay tuned for the next week's episode. You'll find one every week between Monday or Wednesday, depending on when I put them out. Thank you very much for your support, and see you next time.